World Sport from the BBC with Mimi Shatlada. Coming up, Martin O'Neill resigns as Aston Villa manager. England's cricketers enjoy another comfortable win against Pakistan. And the NBA will host two regular season basketball games in London next season.
This is the sort of next step leading up to the London Olympics, which for us presents an extraordinary opportunity for the continued growth of basketball in Europe and in the UK.
But first, football. The Aston Villa manager Martin O'Neill has resigned with immediate effect just 5 days before the start of the new English Premier League season. He said he'd enjoyed his 4 years at the club immensely, but gave no reason for his departure. The club's own statement shed no light on the reason either, but thanked O'Neill for helping to establish the club in the upper echelons of the Premier League. The BBC's Pat Murphy has been following the story. He suggests differences of opinion between the manager and chairman.
Although Randy Lerner told the media in May that O'Neill was definitely staying in the job, the silence from his manager in the summer was significant. O'Neill has become increasingly frustrated that Lerner now sees Villa as a club that has to balance the books by selling players rather than investing heavily. I understand that talks at the weekend between Lerner and O'Neill weren't constructive, and O'Neill didn't believe that the imminent sale of James Milner would leave him with enough funds to compete seriously for Champions League place this season. Rumours that Ashley Young might be sold to Tottenham against O'Neill's wishes dismayed him, and he came to the conclusion that he'd hit the buffers at Villa Park.
Well, Kevin McDonald, Aston Villa's reserve team manager, has been placed in temporary charge for Saturday's season opener at home to West Ham. The former England manager Graham Taylor was one of O'Neill's predecessors at Villa Park. He believes that after finishing sixth 3 seasons in a row, the manager was no longer receiving the financial backing necessary to keep improving the team.
I'm not totally surprised. I think it's been coming. I think, you know, Martin entering his fifth year now, this is his team. A manager needs at least 3 years to get that. He got that, he'd had 4 years there. And I think, basically, what has happened, although, you know, some of it is guesswork in that sense, is that he wants, and he realises he will need more money to take this club further, to take his team further. And it would appear, and we don't know, but it would appear that that's not forthcoming. He's going to have to sell in order to purchase. And I think Martin has said, oops, hold on a minute, that isn't what we're looking for. That's not why I came to this club. And he's decided to walk.
England's cricketers completed a convincing 9-wicket win over Pakistan in the second test at Edgbaston to take a 2-0 lead in the four-match series. Resuming the fourth morning on 291 for 9, the tourists added just 5 more runs before being bowled out, setting England 118 to win. The BBC's Lee James was at Edgbaston.
Despite Pakistan's belated show of fighting spirit with the bat, England still turned what could have been a tricky run chase into a formality. Only 5 runs were added by Pakistan's final wicket pair, but Mohammad Amir gave them a glimmer of hope when he completely rearranged Alastair Cook's stumps, clean bowling the out-of-form opener for 4. If Pakistan had held on to their catches, things could have been different on a pitch that never made batting entirely comfortable. But wicketkeeper Zulkarnain Haider dropped Andrew Strauss twice, while Mohammad Asif contrived to put down yet another catch in the deep. So a composed century partnership between Strauss and Jonathan Trott ensured they cruised to the finishing line, both ending unbeaten on 53. It's another huge win for England. Pakistan's batting recovery was a small step forward. Let's hope for the competitiveness of this series. They can make greater strides in the next test at the Oval.
Well, let's hear from the man of the match, Graham Swan. The England off-spinner took career-best figures of 6 for 65 in Pakistan's second innings.
It was the first time I really had to bowl in the series, so after standing at slip for 3 innings and not getting anything to do, you start to worry whether you'll have any rhythm and so forth. So for it to come out as well as it did, I'm delighted.
It's an hour without conceding a run or something ridiculous.
Someone told me it wasn't a par for world record.
But, that's extraordinary.
I mean, I think that was just, you know, the guys were obviously looking to just keep me out, and that played into my hands a bit, and it worked for them because we couldn't get that wicket in the hour. Even though we bowled a lot of maidens, we couldn't quite get the wicket. So all credit to Pakistan for the way they fought back.
Now, basketball and history will be made next year when the NBA hosts its first ever regular season games in Europe. The matches, to be held at the O2 Arena in London on the 4th and 5th of March, will feature the Toronto Raptors and the New Jersey Nets. They'll play each other twice, with one match representing a home game, the other an away fixture. The NBA Commissioner David Stern says it's an important step to help increase the sport's global appeal.
This is the sort of next step leading up to the London Olympics, which for us presents an extraordinary opportunity for the continued growth of basketball in Europe and in the UK. The London Games, I think, are going to focus many current and prospective NBA and basketball fans on our sport. It's going to make basketball shine as a sport of passion, intensity, teamwork, and a great deal of diversity and inclusiveness. And that's really the framework that we're looking at.
Now, it looks increasingly unlikely that Tiger Woods will qualify to play in the U.S. Ryder Cup team. But would that be such a bad thing? Woods finished second to last at the World Golf Championship event in Ohio last week and is running out of opportunities to make the team via the money list. He'll probably need a captain's wildcard pick if he's to face the Europeans at Celtic Manor this October. But the BBC's Alistair Bruce Ball, who watched Woods in Ohio, says not playing might be a blessing in disguise for Woods and for the U.S. team.
Whisper it quietly, but don't forget the Americans won the Ryder Cup last time without Tiger Woods because he was injured. And actually, I always feel, having covered a few of them, that when Tiger Woods is there, a bit like when David Beckham used to be England football captain, so much of it is about Tiger Woods, and particularly considering what is going on in Tiger Woods' life off the course and now on the course, the whole week will be about Tiger Woods and how he's playing. Whoever plays with him, if he's playing badly, if he's picked as a wild card and starts playing badly, has got real struggles. If Tiger's ever going to take some stick, be it good-natured or not good-natured, it's definitely going to be there. So you can really see an argument for not taking him. I actually suggested, whether Tiger Woods would say to Corey Pavin, don't take me. Kind of makes it easy for the captain saying, don't take me, I'm not playing well, and I'll be a distraction.
Now tennis, and Roger Federer is hoping that the addition of Paul Annacone to his coaching setup will produce immediate results as he prepares for his opening match at the Masters event in Toronto. He's been working with Annacone on a trial basis and will put the partnership to the test on Tuesday night when he faces Juan Ignacio Chela. Federer has slipped to number 3 in the world rankings, and this is his first tournament since his shock quarterfinal exit at Wimbledon. But he says he's as motivated as ever and is enjoying working with Annacone.
Been spending 2 or almost 3 weeks together, and it's been interesting, with all his experiences he's had, with other top players, and just hearing someone else for a change is good too. It's also been interesting with the combination with Severin in Switzerland, my coach, and who's been with me the last 3 years, been looking at ways, to adjust and play differently, or play more aggressive or more defensive, or just use the right shots, and also just handle the tour, the daily routines that I'm doing. It's just interesting that we're going through all the different things. It's been a long break, so it also gave me a lot of time to think of how I want to now approach and attack the end of the year and also the next following years after that.
Coming up in Toronto later will be a doubles fixture featuring the pairing of Nadal and Djokovic. It's the first time the world's top two have teamed up in doubles since Jimmy Connors and Arthur Ashe in 1976. And the Olympic champion and world record holder Dayron Robles has pulled out of the sprint hurdles at the Crystal Palace Diamond League meeting this weekend here in London. The Cuban's coach says he's close to recovering from some nagging leg injuries and should be fit to race at the season's final Diamond League meeting in Brussels on August the 27th. Before we go, our top story again. Martin O'Neill has resigned as manager of Aston Villa with immediate effect. No reason has been given as yet. O'Neill leaves the club just 5 days before the start of the new English Premier League season. And that's the latest world sport from the BBC.